Neil Braun has done so much over a storied career, it's hard to capture it all. To name some of his accolades, Neil has been the Dean of the Pace Business School, President of the NBC Television Network, CEO of Viacom Entertainment, and President of Imagine Entertainment, the production company partnership of director Ron Howard and famed film and television producer Brian Grazer. Neil has been an internet entrepreneur and partnered with amazing innovators to create animated and CGI projects that many of us have enjoyed for years. Beyond all of that, he is one of the nicest guys who spoke to me with bright-eyed hopes for his latest venture. Neil's passion is for democratizing health information around the world through his latest entrepreneurial endeavor, Metaflix. He co-founded the company with music mogul Steven Lieber, HBO executive Steve Sheffer, and super lawyer to Fortune 500 companies and entrepreneur who started 14 businesses on HSN and QVC that have aggregated sales of nearly $3 billion, Ron Burke. Collaborating with a host of over 200 specialists across healthcare, they are creating a movement for access to health information. I'm Damon Davis, and this is my discovery diary with entertainment mogul and entrepreneur, Neil Braun. Neil, thank you so much for being here with me. I really appreciate the time. I know you're a busy man. I know that people demand a lot of your attention. So thanks for being here.
My pleasure, Damon.
I would love for you to take me back for a little while. One of the things that captured me when we met was that you have done some amazing things. I mean, everything from Viacom to NBC Universal, just an array of entertainment organizations. Can you just tell me a little bit more about what you did and some of your roles in those organizations?
Yeah, I've been an intrapreneur is what we used to call it. I used to be in big companies, generally my job would be about figuring out next, like what are we not thinking about? Where's the growth opportunity? Things like that. From there, that gave me the platform to grow into leadership roles where I became divisional CEOs. I was CEO of Viacom Entertainment. I was president of the NBC Television Network. But again, I relied on people who knew how to do ad sales, how to do affiliate relations, how to do international sales. I had experts all around me, and I was always the person really thinking about problem solving, looking for opportunity, and trying to figure out how to apply all my experience to create value.
Were there some classic challenges that you would find in large organizations where they just weren't seeing around the corner that you would say, you know what, this is another opportunity to re-implement something, or was it always a new challenge?
To really get new things done in a company, or at least the way I did it, was what can I leverage? What do we have? What's our strength, our superpower, as some people would like to call it, and how can we use it in new ways? Because as a big company, it's got to be something significant. It's hard to invest in a very early stage thing if you don't have a competitive advantage in that early stage thing. Right. So really understanding where your strengths are and then trying to figure out, okay, how could I use these strengths in ways that we haven't explored yet? And that's how I would go about it.
Yeah. Can you give me an example of one that you just, one of your favorites, you're just like, I can't believe we pulled that off. That was amazing.
Well, I'll tell you about my career accelerator. It's when I was at HBO. This is when I went from being who to, Neil? Yeah. So for 4 years before I went to HBO, I had been in film financing. I was a lawyer first, and then I had a client who came up with a unique way to finance movies. And I worked with him for 4 years and learned lots of ways to put film financing deals together. I went to HBO as their film financing expert because this was at the part time in HBO. I'm talking about the 1980s when HBO cable was being built out across the United States, probably only half penetrated in the United States. And every time a new cable system opened, HBO grew. So it was a great part of the hockey stick, you know, as we like to talk about in business. So it was a really fun time to be at HBO. But we were thinking about the fact that we spent so much money on our biggest cost was pay television rights, the rights to movies to play on HBO. Mm-hmm. And we were paying so much that it was a significant percentage of the overall cost of producing the movie. And before I went to HBO, part of every movie financing would be a pay TV presale, either to HBO or Showtime or the movie channel. they'd buy the pay TV rights based on the script and the cast and the distribution, who's the theatrical distributor and how much money are they going to spend on promoting your movie. And based on those things, you could make a pay TV deal.
Okay.
And then you put enough of those pre-sales together, you could go to a bank and borrow against it and make the movie and deliver it to everybody. And the bank would get paid off from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So now, when I went to HBO, we were the ones spending all that money. So I thought if we were going to get in the film financing business, I have to figure out how do we use the money we're spending on paid TV rights to actually finance the whole movie. And what I did, which I spent the four previous years figuring this out, so I looked like a genius when I got to HBO and did it in 6 months. Timing matters. Yeah. What I realized, it was a time of double-digit interest rates. Interest rates were very high at this point in time. Therefore, discount rates were also high, meaning if I pushed HBO's obligation to pay the pay TV license fee out 10 years, it would actually equal the cost of making the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could guarantee investors, worst case, in 10 years, you get all your money back.
Yeah.
And then all the revenue from everything else would be our profits, essentially. And so I figured out how HBO could get in the film financing business without taking any risk.
That's amazing.
And that was the most pivotal moment in my career.
That's really fascinating. Did you find that other content creating organizations followed your model shortly thereafter? Like once somebody creates the cutting edge, it's hard to keep that innovative edge out in front of others. Did you find folks were following closely behind you?
Not to the same level, because, you know, it's not just about extending the pay TV. Then we had to raise the money to fund the movie, to guarantee the investors. So we brought in a banker. I mean, it was a complicated deal. But ultimately, Disney outbid HBO. I ended up going, I stayed at HBO, but the independent person that I brought in, who had been my former partner in film financing, he basically got bought away from HBO by Disney. And
oh, wow.
Disney basically took over what was called Silver Screen Partners, and they financed the next 6 years of movies that way.
Wow. This is fascinating. You know, you don't get to hear some of these inside stories of the entertainment industry. So I appreciate you opening up about that, because this is the kind of thing that you'd like to hear, these innovative, creative ideas. And you always wonder how this stuff happens. So thanks for sharing that. I'd love to turn now, if you don't mind, to your current venture. You're in an entrepreneurial state yet again. You previously were an entrepreneur. You were creating things inside of a large organization, but now you're at a startup. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what your startup is and what it's supposed to do?
Yeah, well, four media guys got together because the single biggest thing we observe about the healthcare ecosystem is that there simply aren't enough doctors for the populations who need them. The health systems are increasingly under economic pressures because they're now under private ownership that's pressuring doctors for productivity. And so patients and caregivers were feeling frustrated and disrespected. And it's a very tough system to figure out. Even the most affluent, connected people have a hard time sometimes getting an appointment with the specialist they need to see. And first, how do you even figure out who that specialist is? And so we realize, and we confirm by talking to a lot of healthcare insurers and providers, that educating and empowering the individual to manage their own healthcare is an absolute necessity in the world. And as true as that is in the United States and other parts of the world, access to information is even more limited. Good vetted healthcare information, trustworthy health, because, you know, you can find lots of stuff on the internet, but it's very hard to distinguish what's really coming from experts and what's coming from promoters who are trying to sell you something. So we created Metaflix, and we have aggregated a group of 200 of the world's top specialists across 37 medical specialties. And we're creating what will be the largest video library of guidance from experts on all the major chronic conditions and the ability to answer your questions, if either from the library of answers we're creating that anticipate the questions that most patients and caregivers have because our specialists have heard them over decades of their practice, or if we haven't anticipated your specific question, we commit to actually going to our experts and coming back to you with an answer. So we're really trying to be part of the solution in the continuum of healthcare that helps you answer questions. We're not providing treatment. We're not prescribing. We're not being doctors online. Other people are doing that, and that's great. But we're trying to be, it's as if you have a doctor in the family, and all of a sudden you're having symptoms, or you got a diagnosis, but you don't know what it means, or your primary care physician has referred you to a specialist, but you have to wait 6 months to get an appointment, and you have all these questions. We're the place you'll go to have your questions answered with empathy and reassurance, and to provide you context about here are the risks, here are the alternative treatment paths, here are the risks and benefits of each. We can prepare you for your clinical visit, because when you finally do get that appointment, that specialist is going to have 15 minutes or less to spend with you. Right. And in some specialties, it's way less. So how do you optimally use your FaceTime with the doctor? We prepare you to say, here are the three questions you really need to talk to your doctor about when you finally get to see them. So all of us who are founders have had the experience of describing to you frustration. It was my partner, Steve Lieber, it was his wife who had a 5-year battle with multiple myeloma, and he only found out about things that might have helped her when it was too late. I went through end of life with my mom, and despite all the planning that we did and everything, fate had another plan, and it was a very complicated and difficult thing, and I couldn't find the help I needed fast enough. And it's equally true of our other people. And almost everybody we talked to has had some sort of experience like that dealing with healthcare issues.
Yeah. One of the things that I heard from someone is that you can leave a healthcare visit with a very serious diagnosis, and sometimes you'll leave with a pamphlet. And obviously, that's not the kind of thing that you want. You're in an emotional state. You're not going to be able to necessarily sit down and consume something that's handed to you in a leaflet that your doctor provided to you. You really want a series of answers. You want to see experts actually talking through what the opportunities are for care and what the challenges are that you may face. And so it's my understanding that Metaflix is going to create a video library of all of this kind of content. I would love to know a little bit more about how you're bringing your entertainment industry acumen to creating information sharing in the healthcare space for people who need it.
What we're really doing is thinking about how do we take a finite group of experts and how do we reach a mass audience, but in a way that feels individualized, personalized to the individual. And so we're shooting our doctors in profile format and we're having them speak in second person so that it actually feels like a virtual conversation, it feels like a FaceTime conversation. Mm-hmm. It's not a talking head at you. It's somebody who's talking with you. And we're also, when you ask a question, we're saying, here's some other questions you might want the answers to that we have in our library. We're using technology. We're a Microsoft startup partner, and we're working closely with the global chief medical officer of Microsoft, and we're building our own proprietary AI on top of it. But what we're really trying to do is create the feeling of having an ongoing conversation with a group of experts that you get to pick from, because in each specialty, we're hiring for geographical, racial, gender diversity. So, you know, a Black woman in the South might not feel comfortable talking to an Irish doctor in Boston. So we're trying to have enough diversity that everybody can pick in each specialty the expert they want to lead it. Now, that expert may not have the answers to all their questions, but they'll lead you through and say, I don't have an answer to that question, but one of my colleagues did. And they'll make that introduction. So to make it feel more personal, in a world where everybody's thinking about AI, and we're definitely capitalizing on AI, but we're only looking at a data of vetted answers. There's no hallucinations. We're not looking at the internet as a whole. We're only looking at our expert advice and our content from trusted third parties like the Cleveland Clinic and Yale Medicine and American Cancer Society, American Heart Association. We're only looking at really credible, trustworthy information to bring the user a response. And so in a world where algorithms are going to be part of everyday life, I mean, they already are, but it's only going to get even more so as AI continues to evolve. We actually think there's a big part of the population who would still like to feel like they see the person they're talking to, hear directly from a doctor, not have an amalgamation of what several different people think, synthesized by a machine telling you what to do with your life.
Yeah.
So we're building this on my network expertise. We are putting a remote studio in all our doctors' homes, and we're using a broadcast quality platform. So the reason we can get you an answer in a reasonable period of time is because our doctors are connected. So if we get a question in that we haven't anticipated, we can shoot it right out to the right experts and record their answer as soon as they go home for the evening, or they have a break in their schedule, or they can do it tomorrow. So that's in a lot shorter time than waiting for a call back from your clinical physician.
That's amazing. And the notion of creating your proprietary AI, I would imagine, would allow you to create some connectivity between related or repetitive questions, right? So that you can refer back to something that's already been said. So that's really incredible.
We're using AI in a lot of ways. I mean, we're using it to scour the internet for the questions people are asking. So we make sure we build the library to answer those questions. Obviously, to match the query to the best answer. AI is overtaking search. I mean, because AI understands the content. It's not just keywords. It's understanding the meaning of the question and finding the right answer for you. And that's how we're using AI, not really to give answers, but to find the answer that's most best suited.
That's amazing. And I just had a recent experience with AI that frankly frustrated me. So while I'm hopeful for what AI can do, I'm also sensitive to what some of its challenges are going to be. There's racial biases in some of the data that's out there. I know you're aware of this. I just came from a Washington Post Live event earlier today, and they were talking about women's heart health. This is Heart Health Month. And one of the things that was said from the stage was that an individual who created a new startup was examining some of the heart data that was in the databases that she was using for AI model training. And what she realized was that in the database, 75% of the heart data was represented by men. So there was only a quarter of it represented by women. And that is clearly a bias that unfortunately is going to taint the way that the AI is going to react to certain queries. So these are the kinds of things that we need to be aware of. But I trust that you guys are acknowledging that and are moving forward in really important ways that are going to make some awesome impacts.
Yeah, I've learned a ton doing this. And one of the things that I have learned is that the symptoms of heart disease are very different in men and women. So it's really important to understand that. And to, but I'm sure as you're aware, clinical trials have not been well represented by underserved populations, whether it's racial or gender.
So increasingly,
there's a lot of pressure to make sure clinical trials are more representative of the population.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, my final question, Neil, this has been wonderful. You know, you and I met at blackdoctor.org at USA Today, and it was so cool to be in this health equity event that they put together. And we emailed a little bit afterwards, and you sent me a note that basically revealed how much you learned about systemic biases in healthcare. And you said, yesterday's panels were informative and made me feel both ends of the spectrum more profoundly, which seemed to me to be an allusion to the disparate care that is being delivered out in the community. But in the same message, you also spoke about this reaffirmation of what Metaflix's mission is. You said it was very important that what Metaflix is trying to accomplish actually sees the light of day and becomes successful. Can you just talk a little bit about the takeaways that you took from these health equity events and how it applies to Metaflix's mission to democratize information?
You know, life is a learning process, right? And I've understood intellectually, working in the business world, meeting all kinds of people, I became pretty intellectually aware of, let's call it my white privilege, the advantages of being a white male, having parents who coming from a loving family who were comfortable enough to pay for my education so I wasn't burdened with student debt. One of the things I've understood intellectually for a long time is everybody has their burdens, and they're not always visible. They're not always obvious. I can't imagine that anybody is burden-free. But it's something very different to understand that and to bear witness to it. Mm-hmm. And what I got at that BDO meeting where we met, hearing the personal stories of the people on the panel, I mean, even now thinking about it, it chokes me up a little bit. Just those personal stories really moved me so deeply about the inequities that some people face in everyday life, let alone when they're facing a crisis like healthcare.
Right.
And so what it affirms for me that as frustrating as it can be working in a startup and working with partners, and it's invigorating, but it's hard. Startups are hard.
Yeah.
It affirmed for me that democratizing access to the best minds in medicine is a worthy, I mean, at 71, I do start thinking about how much runway do I have left and what's, how do I use my time? And really feeling the things I felt that day made me reaffirm that spending my time trying to help, working with my colleagues, trying to figure out how do you democratize the best information we can get to people about managing their own health is a great use of my time.
It absolutely is, 100%. And I can sense your passion for what it is that you guys are going to accomplish with Metaflix. Neil, I appreciate every moment that you spent with me today. This was really fantastic. I wish you and all of your team at Metaflix the absolute best, man. Take care, and thanks for your hard work on this.
Appreciate you, Damon. Thank you.